Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
We are going to be in Matthew chapter 3 today. So we're going to do a couple series of messages just talking about some discipleship things and just salvation, water baptism, I guess some of the things we would call maybe basic teachings of the church. But we need to revisit those things every so often. I usually like to do it at least yearly, if not more often than that. Sometimes we assume that everybody knows all these things, but we all need to come back to what God's Word has to say. Amen? All right, so we're going to be in Matthew chapter 3. I've entitled the message, In His Steps. And so, in Nebraska, we get snow, right? So I'm on all the kids' eyes up here. Whoop, we have to rotate, okay? So I want you to imagine it's wintertime, and your dad has just walked through the snow. Okay, I'm making you cold. Your dad has just walked through the snow, and you're following behind him, and the snow is really deep. So what are you trying to do? Are you trying to walk in, follow in his footsteps, right? Because he's kind of made a trail for you, right? And the snow is deep, and you follow in his steps, all right? And that's why I've entitled the message this morning, In His Steps, because I believe there's certain things within Scripture where we are to follow the life of Jesus and walk in His steps. There's certain things that Jesus did, not for His own benefit, but for our benefit, okay? And so we're going to look at a couple of those things today, two of them specifically that we are going to look at, and they are very top secret, so I'm not going to tell you what they are. You're going to have to listen to know what those are, okay? All right, there is like bonus money if you figure out what those are, girls and guys. All right, like Andy's going to have to break open the bank. He's not listening, so it's all good. So he'll be good for it, I'm sure. All right, okay, so let's look at Matthew chapter 3. Let's see, let's make sure that I... I just had in here, there's that commercial, right? About, it's an insurance commercial, and it's about these adults, and they are starting to mimic their older parents, right? Which one is that? Is that Progressive or Geico? Is it Geico? Yeah, becoming like your parents? I like that one. It's kind of like, no, I'm not becoming like my parents. But my wife, Amy, and I look at each other, and she's in the office, so she can't defend herself. But I think we both, we do things that are like our parents. It's kind of like we've promised, we've vowed that we're not going to be like our parents. How many have made that promise? You're not going to act like your parents. And then all of a sudden, it doesn't matter, huh? See, that commercial's true, isn't it? It's kind of like, all right. So we pick up on things that our parents do. And we have to see the life of Jesus, that He is our Heavenly Father, that we are to follow after, and I believe that a lot of the things He did here on earth was for our benefit. So we want to look at a few of those. So let's begin with the word of prayer, and then we're going to dive into Matthew chapter 3. All right. Lord, we thank You for this moment. We thank You for this time we have together, and I pray that You would just speak to us through Your word. As we talked about earlier, it is quick, it is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to correct, it's able to lead, it's able to help us to walk in righteousness, dear God, and to know Your heart and to know Your will. And so, Father, we just pray that You would allow it to penetrate our hearts this morning. And we give You the thanks, we give You the praise. In Your name we ask, amen. All right, we're going to look at, first of all, verse 13 of Matthew chapter 3. It says, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. He came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. Now, if you look at the geography of Israel, Now, I'm going back to my Old Testament class, History of Israel class, and my professor always used to draw up on the chalkboard. He would go like this. This is the Mediterranean Sea. All right, so I need to do it for you guys here. So there's the Mediterranean Sea on your west side, and then you got the Sea of Galilee up here, Jordan River, Dead Sea, okay? And in here is Israel, okay? Israel was a little bit on the east side of the Jordan River, but most of it was on the west side, right? And that is your geography lesson for today, all right? So we do know a little bit about Jesus. We do know a little bit about Jesus that after he was born in what town? Bethlehem. Okay, he's born in Bethlehem. That Mary and Joseph are warned in a dream that Herod was going to try and kill baby Jesus. And so they went to Egypt. And they spend some time in Egypt, and then God comes to them again in a dream and says, the coast is clear, and so then they move to what town in Galilee? Nazareth. Yes, they move up to Nazareth in the north, and that's where Jesus would grow up. And we don't hear anything about the life of Jesus until he's 12. Okay, that's when they're on a place going from point A to point B, and all of a sudden they think he's with the relatives, and they lose Jesus. Isn't that wouldn't that be a horrible thought? You haven't just lost your son, you've lost Jesus, right? All right, that's a pretty heavy thing. Anyway, they find him, and he's in the temple talking with the religious leaders and the teachers of the law. He's having this dialogue with them, and it's kind of like, what in the world is our son? Here he is talking with some of the brightest minds in Israel, and he's having a religious conversation, a theological conversation with them. So we don't know much about Jesus until age 12 when this occurrence happens. And then we don't hear anything more until this moment where he begins his public ministry. All right, Jesus comes on the scene. He comes to the Jordan River. And John and Jesus knew each other. Why? They were cousins. In fact, John was born just a little bit before Jesus. And when Mary has the angel come to her and says, you were a child, and it's of God, she goes and visits her cousin Elizabeth, right? And she is already almost ready to give birth, and John leaps inside of Elizabeth's stomach, and Elizabeth prophesies over Mary. So they were cousins. We don't know if they hung out together at family reunions and get-togethers, but they knew who each other were. And John realized that Jesus was the Christ. And he was to prepare the way for Jesus, okay? He was, and that's what John's ministry would be to be that one that would go before and prepare the way for Jesus, okay? So let's look at this again. It says, then Jesus came from Galilee in the north to the Jordan River. The Jordan River flowed between the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. And he wanted to be baptized by John. All right, and I don't want to get too far away from my notes here, all right? So verse 14, but John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. Do you come to me? Are you understanding what is happening here? The lesser, the greater is being asked to be baptized by the lesser. Are you understanding that? And so they have this dialogue. Can you imagine a little bit what that's saying? And John's saying, I can't baptize you. You're the Christ. You're God. All right? He's probably not trying to give it all away, right? But he's saying, I can't. You're God. I'm supposed to be baptized by you, not me baptize you. But John had already been baptizing people, right? And his ministry had already begun, and he was telling people to repent, for the kingdom of God is near. It's going to happen. And so people were repenting, they were getting their lives right with God. And so Jesus comes to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. All right. Verse 15. Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. And what Jesus says, you know what? This is fulfillment of Scripture. So by you baptizing me, we are fulfilling Old Testament Scripture that I should be baptized. It is God's will. Why was it God's will? First of all, it identified that Jesus was identifying with mankind's sin that he would die on the cross for. Because think about it. Did Jesus really need to be baptized? No. He wasn't a sinner, was he? It said that he never sinned. So baptism is a symbol of our salvation and our conversion, that we've died to an old way of life and been raised to a new life. Jesus didn't have to be baptized. So why was he baptized? One, it identified him with us and that he would be the one that would take our sin upon himself for us. All right? I think there was a second reason, and that is to lead by example. That Jesus wanted us to walk in his steps and to follow him in water baptism. Because he did not have to be baptized. He was the Son of God. And as a human, he lived a life that was sinless. He did it to identify with us and to lead us by example. So I think this is in your program here. And maybe I think this is the first part, but I'm not sure. I'll look to be sure. So why should we be baptized? Yes, that is in there. Okay, one, Jesus modeled it for us, right? We just saw that. Jesus modeled it for us. He was baptized in water so that we could follow in his steps. All right? Secondly, it symbolizes our conversion experience. All right, so I need a guinea pig here. You want to be a guinea pig? Have you been baptized, Jada? You were last year. Izzy? Ethan? Have you been baptized, Ethan? Yeah, I abused you as a... You've done this illustration before, haven't you? Yeah, you did it on that. You're right, yes, I remember. Zoe, why don't you come in, Zoe? Yep, come help me out. This is Zoe. So, I'm going to have you sit facing this way. I'm going to have you just be weird, okay? Yep, you have to face that way. Sit down. So water baptism symbolizes something about our conversion. So when we accept Christ into our life, he's the Lord of our life. That means that I'm no longer the Lord of my life, calling all the shots. I'm going to live my life in submission to him, okay, in accordance to God's word, okay? God's word is powerful. We talked about that earlier. And so now I'm not going to just do whatever I want to do with my life. I'm going to live my life in accordance to God's word and align my life with God's word. That means I have to die to myself. He is the Lord of my life. I am not. Okay? There's a death that has to happen in your life if you're going to follow Christ. So because of that, okay, you have to put over your nose. I don't want you to get water in your nose. Okay? All right? So we place you under the water. Right? So what does that symbolize? It symbolizes a watery grave, okay? And I won't hold anybody there that long, okay? All right. But it symbolizes a watery grave. She's dead. But you know what? We don't leave people there. What do? We bring them back up because now they've been raised to a new life in Christ, because once we give our life to Christ, we become spiritually alive, right? We die to an old way of life when we're being raised to a new life in Christ. That is what water baptism symbolizes. All right? So there isn't a lot of requirements for water baptism other than that I've made a decision for Christ, okay? And sometimes people think I'm not ready or I'm not perfect yet. That isn't really a requirement of water baptism. When you see in Scripture, it happens immediately when people have made a commitment to follow Christ. The Philippian jailer, Acts chapter... Oh, boy. I can't remember. I should know that. Happens in Acts. But he's in Philippi. The jailer gets saved. He's a Roman guy. He's an ex-Roman soldier, probably. He is rough cut. Probably used a lot of cuss words and other things. And then he meets Jesus. Because Jesus spends the night, not Jesus. Well, he meets Jesus, but Paul and Silas spend the night in his prison, right? And they say, you know what? I want what these guys have. And so the jailer is ready to take his own life. Paul and Silas say, don't do it. They lead him to Christ, not only him, but his whole family. They're all baptized that night. The Ethiopian eunuch, Acts. Philip leads him to the Lord. They find a pond of water, kind of like out in Nebraska. He's baptized in water. Philip disappears. So baptism is to follow soon after our conversion experience, and it symbolizes that I've died to an old way of life and I've been raised to a new life in Christ. Number three, we are baptized in water. Why should we baptize? Because we're instructed to in Scripture. Okay? Matthew 28:19 says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." Doing what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so it becomes a matter of obedience, just as Jesus submitted to the Father's will. Think about that, guys. Jesus did not have to be baptized in water, but he submitted to the Father's will, not only in baptism, but also when it came to the cross. And I believe that baptism is a great way for us to begin the submission to Christ in our life. If we're not willing to be baptized in water, I'm not trying to be hard on anybody, but if we're not willing to be baptized in water, what are we going to be willing to do for God? Okay? Baptism is not about making you feel spiritual. It's not about making you feel fluffy on the inside. It is not something that you can get a certificate and put on the wall. We do that, right? But it's not like I've attained anything. It's just saying that I've surrendered my life to Christ. I've died to an old way of life, and I'm being raised to a new life in Christ. Christ has done something in my life. That is what water baptism is. I think about a lady that was in our church up in North Dakota. And she, at that point, they were retired. They retired early from Hughes Aircraft, the husband did. And they were just a great older couple in our church. And by older, I mean they were in their, they were 60, 65. I think they're about 65. Great. They understood ministry, and they were just good friends to us. But we were talking about baptism and the grandkids. They had grandkids staying with them through the summer, like three of them. And I got to baptize all three of them. But then in the process there, it came out that grandma had never been baptized. Why? Well, she would get ear infections if she got water in her ear. Okay? She had a great excuse. I said, "Well, let's get some earplugs." So we got earplugs. So out by the river the one morning, Sunday morning, we'd have service out on this, it was kind of a lake river in Harvey, North Dakota. We had our service out there, and she was baptized at like age 65. And she had served the Lord a long time. But she followed the Lord in baptism that day. So, no excuses, okay? Surrender your life to God. So the first thing that we see that we are to follow the steps of Jesus in his steps is water baptism. Water baptism. That is the first thing we're to follow him in. Okay? So, verse 16. "And as soon as Jesus was baptized in water, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, heaven opened." What does that look like? Heaven opened. We read stuff and we just kind of read through it, but heaven opened. What does that look like? Was it a little bit overcast and all of a sudden the clouds parted and it was like this portal going up to heaven? Kind of like in the movies, Marvel movies, they create those, you know, portals. I don't know. But the heavens opened. The presence of God comes down in the form of a dove and rests upon Jesus, doesn't it? That's what it says, right? "And he saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove and lighting on him." So it actually kind of lands on him. In verse 17, well, I'm going to get to verse 17. So there's a second baptism that we see here. Did you know that? Two baptisms take place in the same event. First of all, John baptizes Jesus in water. But then the Father baptizes Jesus with his Spirit. He baptizes him with his Spirit. All right, I'm going to stick to my notes here. And so this is Jesus' Spirit baptism. And then it's interesting to note that Jesus does no ministry before this event. He's probably about age 30. Okay, he's learned his father's trade, probably. It was some kind of building, whether it was bricks or wood. But it was, many times we call him a carpenter, but there is some people that think maybe worked with stone and stuff as well, which was very common in that day. But before this, he does no ministry. So it's after his spirit baptism, his water baptism and his spirit baptism. And then we see in Matthew and Luke that he goes into the wilderness. He's tried. He fasts for 40 days. And then he begins his public ministry. He chooses his disciples. And he begins his 3.5 years of ministry. So whenever the Holy Spirit came upon people in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, it was to empower them for a purpose, to be a king, to be a prophet, to be a New Testament leader, to be a witness. And the thing I think that we sometimes skip over is we think, you know, Jesus did miracles because he was the Son of God. But in order for him to be human, to be man, which he was, he became flesh, he had to set aside his divine attributes. Philippians chapter 2, that's your homework this afternoon. Okay? He had to empty himself and set aside his divine attributes. He did not cease to be God, but it's kind of hard for him to be human when you can do miracles, right? And you can, you know, he can be here and not there and all the place. He had to confine himself to his body. So in order to do that, he couldn't be omniscient. He couldn't be everywhere and omnipresent. He couldn't be everywhere at once. He had to be confined to a body, right? He had to give up that right, that attribute for a time and a season, right? He had to set aside being omniscient, knowing all things. Now he had to communicate with the Father to know what the heart of the Father was, what he's supposed to do, and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. He wasn't all-powerful anymore. Uh-oh. So how did he do the miracles? Because the Spirit of God was upon him, the Holy Spirit. And you read through the Gospels, and you see some places the Spirit of God wasn't present for them to heal. That was back up in his hometown, Nazareth. Jesus did his miracles through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's a good thing. Why is that a good thing? We've been doing that series, You're Born for This. What have we talked about? That none of us can do miracles, right? We can't do anything through the power of God, but we can if the Spirit of God is right. So John 14, 11 through 18. Just as I'm in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe that because of what you've seen me do. The truth is, if anyone believes in me, he will do the same works that I have done, and even greater works, because I'm going to the Father. That part doesn't make sense until you read the other verses. You can ask for anything in my name, and I'll do it, because the work of the Son brings glory to the Father. Yet ask anything in my name, and I'll do it, if you love me and obey my commandments. And I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another counselor, okay, the Paraclete, who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads us into all truth. The world at large does not know him and will not receive him because he isn't looking for him. But you, because he lives in you now and later he will not abandon you. Jesus says, you will do even greater things than me because I am giving you the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that came to rest upon Jesus that day when he was being baptized in the water is the same Spirit that wants to come and rest upon our lives. The moment we accept Christ in our life, the Holy Spirit comes and lives within us. And then he wants to come in an empowering way that we call the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where he wants to equip us and empower us for service. Amen? Two baptisms. Which ones are they? One, water baptism, and Spirit baptism. And so as the Holy Spirit rested upon Jesus, so we should seek the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. Verse 17, we see that divine approval from God the Father. It says, the voice came from heaven saying, this is my Son whom I love, in whom I am well pleased. This is fulfillment of Isaiah 42:1 that says, look at my servant who I will strengthen. He is my chosen one and I am pleased with him. I have put my Spirit upon him, and he will reveal justice to the nations. So this event did fulfill what was written by Isaiah several hundred years prior. Isn't that incredible? That's fulfillment. In his steps, from our passage today, we see there are two things that God wants us to follow Jesus in. What are they? Water baptism and Spirit baptism. water baptism and spirit baptism. If you have not been baptized in water since you believed, the decision is clear. Be baptized. If you have not sensed the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, we're going to give you an opportunity this morning just to come forward. We want to pray with you if you have other needs and stuff as well. But we're going to invite you forward and have the musicians come. How do you know if you have the empowering presence of the Spirit of God in your life? How do you know? Within the assemblies, we talk about the unknown language or tongues, you can call it. That was probably the most referenced sign that people have been filled with the Holy Spirit. It happened on the day of Pentecost, right? They began to speak in other languages. Happened at Cornelius' house, a bunch of Gentiles that were God-fearing. They didn't even wait till Peter finishes preaching and the Spirit of God comes upon them and they speak in other languages, just cause a terrible disruptance. I'm joking, okay? But they're filled with the Holy Spirit. And that was not only were they filled with the Holy Spirit, but it was a pivotal moment. Why? Because Cornelius and his family and the people there were Gentiles. And to the Jewish mind, only Jews could be saved. And so this was even just stretching Peter to go preach salvation to the Gentiles. But then God placed his Spirit upon them, and it's kind of like, oh, God must love the Gentiles too, because he's placing his Spirit upon them. And it's like they had to totally readjust because now God was placing his Spirit upon the Gentiles. And they began to see God's plan. That God just didn't care about the Jewish people. He cared about all people, didn't he? And that is the promise in Scripture that in the last days I will pour out my Spirit upon all people, right? Upon all flesh. Upon all flesh. So how do we know that empowering presence? Well, is there fruit in your life? What do I mean by fruit? We did the series, You Are Born for This. Is there a boldness in your life just to share Christ with people? Are you hearing his voice when he nudges you and praying for people? Is the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, that's a good place to start. If those things are evident in your life, then you need to say, God, is your Spirit at work in my life? Am I in your Word? Am I in prayer? Because if you're in Word and prayer, you're going to produce the fruit of the Spirit. Okay? Now, if you're not in God in prayer and in God's Word, you're going to try to produce the fruit of the Spirit, but it's not going to, it's going to maybe even look good, and all of a sudden you take a bite out of it, and people are going to go, ah, it's rotten. You ever done that to a piece of fruit? You looked at it and taken a bite out of it, and it's kind of like it's worms on the inside? That's what happens when we try to do it on our own. But when the Spirit of God is within us, he's going to produce beautiful fruit in our life. It's of him. But then there's also the gifts of the Spirit, discernment, prophecy, healings, word of knowledge. That God can even help us, give us those nudges and just to know how to pray for people. If you were here last Sunday night, Stephen and Bailey were praying for people. And how many of you they prayed for in a very precise way as they were led by the Spirit? Yeah. See, they knew about, they were just following, they were praying according to the Spirit. So they were praying in a very precise way. Things that they had no knowledge of, but the Spirit of God was helping them to pray. How do they do that? It's just the Holy Spirit flowing through you. Can God do that with you? Guess what? He can. He can. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And I need more of that in my life. How about you? I need more. There's still some of the gifts of the Spirit that I'm still growing. I'm still a toddler. I'm still in elementary school. Do you know that? I'm still a kid. And God wants to develop those in my life. And I believe he wants to do that in your life too. He wants to place the Spirit upon you. I'm going to have Andy, Jay and Gene, if you'd come forward. We're going to be up here. We'd love to pray with you. Prayer requests, or if you're just saying, God, I need more of the Spirit of God in my life. If you just want to come forward and stand and just say, God, here I am. Fill me with your Spirit. you need to be baptized in water, the form is at the table. But if you would even just come up and say, hey, it's time. I need to get it done. It's time. I had a farmer. He grew up in a Lutheran background. And so he was baptized as an infant. Okay? Confirmed. And he really had a sincere heart. Just a very sincere heart. Loved God. He's in a bad plane accident. I don't think he was injured real bad, but it scared him pretty bad. He was in just a small plane. He's a pilot. But it was a turning point in his life. He got his life right with God. And he showed up at our church for breakfast on Easter morning. And started coming every Sunday after that. Served on my board. And I said, Rick, we have to get you baptized in water. I know you were confirmed. I know your parents did that in obedience when you were young. But as a believer, you need to say, hey, I've made a decision to follow Christ. I'm going to follow him in water baptism. And he didn't want to be in the public and all that. So one day I went out to his place for some coffee or something out on the farm. And he had the stock tank ready. He had a stock tank, and there in his backyard in the stock tank, he was baptized. Got his curly hair all wet. I know there are sticking points where we sometimes hold back on God. Place those things in God's hands and let him, whether it is in water baptism or whether it is in spirit baptism, let's follow Jesus in his steps and become like him. Amen? Amen. They're going to lead us in that chorus, this I believe. Would you all stand this morning? And I'm just going to invite you to come forward if you just want to, just to soak in God's presence a little bit. If you want us to pray with you for a need or just for the more of the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life, if you would come forward. And let's just respond to God today. Just take a few moments and give it to him. I even finished up a little bit early, so no excuses this morning, all right? Amen. Amen. Go ahead and lead us this morning. This morning we just come before you, Lord. And Lord, your word is powerful. It is sharp. It's able to instruct us, it's to lead us in righteousness, it's able to correct us. And Father, this morning, just as we've looked at your word and we've looked at the example of Jesus, there's so many things that Jesus did just to show and to model for us how to live the Christian life. And some of these basic ways is one, that we need to know you as our Lord and our Savior. We need to submit our life to you. It's not enough just to believe that there is a God. Even the demons and Satan himself believes that there is a God. It's coming to that place where we see that Jesus is the one that died on the cross for my sin, that I'm a sinner and that I need God's forgiveness. I need his grace. I need his mercy. And so I have to place my life in God's hands and say, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Be my Lord and my Savior. And then like Jesus, I have to follow and submit my will to the Father and follow you in water baptism. And then to invite the Holy Spirit to come in, not only into my life, but to empower me to live the Christian life. We're not called to live this life on our own strength and power with our own will, but you've given us your Holy Spirit to walk alongside of us, to empower us for life and for ministry. Father, we need to be filled to overflowing because, Lord, we leak. We are influenced by the things of this world. They come against us, temptation, and just being in our world, Father, it erodes our spiritual walk. And, Father, we need to have that fullness of the Spirit of God within our life. Lord God, so that we can be full of your presence. Because, Lord, there's nothing good within us that's going to change the world. But Lord, if Christ is in us, if your Spirit is upon us, great things are possible through the power of Christ. So Lord, my prayer this morning is for each one here, young and old, Lord God, that your Spirit may rest upon us and that we can know you as our Lord and our Savior, that nobody leaves this place this morning without knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that their life is hidden with you in Christ. They have the hope of salvation. Lord, that nobody leaves here this morning without just sensing your presence in their life, a desire to be filled with your Spirit and your presence, God. Father, be upon your people. Let us change this world. Let us be a witness for you. Let us share Christ with the world around us. Friends, family, the neighbor across the street, the person at work. Lord, may we be sensitive to the nudgings of your Spirit. Father, we just give you the thanks and the praise. Lord, may your Spirit and your blessing be upon your people this morning. May your face shine upon us and be gracious to us and go with us this week. We ask it in your precious and wonderful name. In Jesus. You're going to shake hands. Say, follow in his steps. You can say that, right? Find a few people and tell them to follow in his steps, in the footsteps of Jesus. Amen? God bless you this morning.